Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday, April the 5th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, 39 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion. I hear it's supposed to be a pretty nice day today. Give me a buzz here if there's anything on your mind, 740-751-4038. Phone lines are working again today. We're all happy about that. I did send a message over to the fire department to get an update on the house explosion last year on Congress Street to see if there's if an answer has been given to that yet. If we get that before the end of the show this morning, I will let you know. If not, I will give that to you tomorrow morning. They're pretty good about responding, the fire department, with answers. All of the groups here at Marion Police Department, Sheriff's Office, I've always been, by and large, pretty good about responding to requests like that. So if we get any information, we'll let you know. And in hour number one, just a quick recap, there was a story this morning on the AP Wire. It's considered an oddity story. It's only two paragraphs here, so I'm going to read it to you again. Two of naturalist Charles Darwin's notebooks that were reported stolen from Cambridge University's library have been returned 2 decades after they disappeared. The university said Tuesday that the manuscripts were left in the library inside of a pink gift bag, along with a note wishing the librarian a happy Easter. Now, why is this of interest to us? Well, we've still got Harding's dog collar missing 10 or 11 years later now here in Marion. This radio station was gifted a $1,000 reward for the return of this. That money is still there. So if you know where Laddie Boy's dog collar is, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. And you can do that off the air or give me an email or send me an email, I guess I should say, Scott with two T's at WWGH1071.com. So that's that story. It could be in somebody's attic. Who knows? Any thoughts on that, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. And again, the phone line problem from yesterday is fixed, and when we were going to go to the phones yesterday, the question was, what do you have for breakfast? Or, what have you had any situations at restaurants lately that were not so pleasant? And why do you think this is happening? Everywhere, not just in one place. I'd be interested to know. I don't think it's staffing. I know people are blaming it on that, but I don't know if that's right. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, that's interesting about the dog collar missing. That's probably more of interest to the state and local here. But also an item that was stolen that I remember a long, long time ago, was when they had the museum and the little press conference building out in back of the Harding home. They had a locket with a picture of Abraham Lincoln with a lock of his hair. And
that's interesting.
That also was stolen. But that was a long, long time ago. But I asked, when I went through the new Harding Museum Library here, and I asked one of the curators there if they'd ever recovered that or heard anything more, and that's still missing.
You know, that's what's odd to me, is that, you know, I had kind of heard about that. And what's funny to me is that was stolen, never recovered, and yet no security system was ever put in to the Harding home after that. And here we go, you know, in 2011, it was 11 or 12, I can't remember, the dog collar ends up being stolen. And I just don't, there's something about the dog collar, and I don't know much about the lock of the hair, but the dog collar thing is odd to me because, number one, Mount Vernon Avenue is the busiest street in Marion. I believe this happened in June or July, so it wasn't like it was winter. You had to carry a ladder that would reach the second floor, prop it up against the building of Marion's most famous house, and it's not like it's hidden by bushes or anything, break the window. There are neighbors on each side of that house who had to hear the window break, and you would had to know exactly where the dog collar was because it was the dead of night. Now, how does this all happen? Nobody sees anything. Nobody hears anything. And 11 years later, we don't even have a lead. There never was even a lead on this.
Yeah. It's people are brazen when, you know, I remember seeing the dog collar, but I don't remember it in the house. I remember, like I said, I remember when they had the museum back in that little press building behind the home. And everything, like the lock of Lincoln's hair and the dog collar was just in a, it was there at that time, it was just in a glass display case. But there was, you know, there was, you would just walk in there, anybody could walk in there and probably break the glass and take it. Apparently that, I don't know if that's what they did with Lincoln's lock of hair, but I don't know if they've installed security since they've redone things or not. That's an interesting question. I would hope so.
Well, what's odd to me as well, with Lincoln's hair, the dog collar, things of that nature. Now, obviously, you can't tell anybody you have it, or you could be turned in. So what use is it to anybody?
Especially with Lincoln's hair, you go in there and say, I've got a lock of Lincoln's hair, that's going to run some flags up the pole.
You know, this is interesting, though. I do you know why the Hardings had a lock of Lincoln's hair?
I do not, and that's been, I've never asked that, how that they acquired that.
Because that would have been before his time. Lincoln was,
Yeah. But some, obviously it was gifted to them, but I don't know. I don't know the story behind that. I just remember seeing it when it was a long, long time ago. I remember seeing that because I thought that was such an oddity, you know, an unusual thing to have. I've always been a historian and like to see things. You know, it's always points of interest. And I thought, boy, that's very unusual to have something like that. I doubt if there's a whole lot of that around.
No, because I would have guessed in Lincoln's time, you know, he was not the most popular president, and nobody would have known he was going to be assassinated. So I wonder why people were saving locks of his hair to begin with.
Well, back in those days, that was a common thing, saving locks of hair for, you know, loved ones or you know, famous people. Didn't even have to be famous people. You know, a lot of people would just keep a lock of hair as a memento. And sometimes if soldiers were out on the battlefield, their wives would send them a lock of hair and a letter. It was a lot more common in those days.
That's interesting. And you know, with all of these items, and we had our own stolen item here in Marion with Lady Justice, why is it that they don't pop back up? I mean, I understand why immediately they don't, because there is a lot of hubbub and police are looking for people and all that. But, you know, once you get a decade or so in between it, like with Darwin's notebooks, which got returned after 20 years, Lady Justice, I think it was more than 20 years that it took to get it returned. We're at 10 or 11 years with this dog collar. Lincoln's hair has never been returned. Why do people hold on to this stuff? What is the purpose?
I mean, only the people that take it can answer that, but, you know, I think probably they feel like they own a piece of history or something like that. But then I think you covered it pretty well this morning already about, you know, after a while, they are afraid to return it for the shame, or they're afraid that they're going to get convicted of a crime, or their name will be dragged through the mud, which it probably would be. So I think you've given a lot of viable alternatives on how to return things without that happening.
Right, and if I was the person who did it, or I knew the person who did it, you know, again, you don't have to tell me that you... How would I know? How would I know if you were the person 11 years ago who climbed up there on the ladder? I wouldn't. And to be honest with you, the police wouldn't either, because they haven't had any leads in 11 years. So it would be very hard to try a case like that, and I believe it's out of the statute of limitations anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then after, I mean, I don't know what good it would do you, because it's not like you could show your friends and neighbors, hey, look what I've got.
Right. You know, that right there is what makes this all the more odd to me. That story last year got national attention, that $1,000 reward. No leads. And in the 11 years, the police have never got a lead. How did whoever took this, because somebody did, how have they not talked to anybody? How does nobody know anything? You know how people like to gossip. When Harding's love letters came to pass, my goodness, housewives were reading those and houses all over Marion. Now, how does nobody know anything about this dog collar? I mean, even if it's a lead that turns out not to be true, or it's a false story, how does nobody know anything?
Yeah, it's somebody's got to keep it really tight under their under their collar, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly right. You know. Good choice of words.
But I don't know what satisfaction anybody would get, because they'd have to keep it hidden. If they had grandkids like my grandkids, they couldn't keep it hid very long, because they find everything. You'd have to keep it in a safe or something. And like you said, what good would it do you?
Right. And after a decade, you haven't told your wife, yeah, or your girlfriend or your mother, father, your kids. You haven't moved houses and somebody saw it. You know, that's what's odd to me. And nobody who lived over in those houses had any stories from that night that, oh, we heard the glass break, we heard a car pull up?
I tell you, it is amazing, because I don't live there anymore, but I had built a house in Chateau, and they were still building houses over there. And they were building a house right across the street from me, and they had brought in a couple huge trucks of stone they were doing the basement work lay the foundation. And the next morning I got up for breakfast and I had a knock on the door, and I go out there, and here it's a construction foreman. And he said, "Did you hear anything overnight?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Why? What happened?" And he said, "We had a whole load of stone, and somebody come in and took the stone."
Isn't that something?
I said, "Well, that's, you'd have to have a loader. I mean, that's not nothing you could have come in with a shovel and a couple buckets. You had to have a loader and a dump truck." But yeah, somebody. It's crazy what people will do.
But you know, it's just, I tell you why it's odd to me. People will say, "Well, I was kept up all night by a barking dog." Now, do you know how when you shatter a window, especially in the dead of night, when there's not a lot of traffic, when the phones aren't ringing, how do you not hear that? When the houses are, 15 feet away from each other?
Yeah, they're fairly close over there.
So the whole thing to me is just odd. And the person could not have ran away on foot. I mean, and they left the ladder, was my understanding from the original story. So, it's so odd. And even if it would have happened on kind of a deserted street, this is the busiest street in Marion. There had to be cars going up and down it. He didn't
somebody
know.
Somebody had to be.
Yeah.
Somebody had to be very brazen to even attempt it. So
that's why I think it was a dare. A dare and a prank.
The only thing I can think of with the ladder is there's so much construction going on with that house. People probably just thought it was a worker, but I don't know.
Well, see, that's, and I've thought about, well, maybe they thought it was a worker, but the next day when it was reported that it was stolen, if you saw that, wouldn't you say, well, wait a second, hey, I drove by there last night, and
you would think so.
Nobody saw a thing. Well, hey, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay, hey, keep up the good work, Scott. Very interesting day.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are working, 740-751-4038. Interesting conversation this morning, 29 and a half minutes past the hour. Lincoln's hair stolen from the Harding home years earlier, never found. Too bad we're not in England. They return things after 20 years. We get Darwin's notebooks back. But even here, with a $1,000 reward and 7 cents, don't forget that 7 cents that's accrued on there since we received the reward, the $1,000 reward for the return of Harding's dog collar, nothing. Nobody has seen a thing. Nobody's heard a story. Nobody knows anything. And just like our caller said there, maybe you would have thought it was a construction person. I can see that. But the next day when the story came out that the home had been burglarized, wouldn't you have went to the police station and say, hey, I was driving down there last night and I thought that was a construction person, but obviously it wasn't. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. 740-751-4038. Give me a call if you have something to say about Harding's dog collar, or if you want to let me know what you have for breakfast. What do you make of the restaurant situation in Marion? And again, I don't believe this is a staffing issue. I believe to some degree the service in these restaurants is a staffing issue. But I think, people are spending an awful lot of time on their phones. A whole generation of people are moving into these jobs, by the way, which I think is interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Well, Scott, this is a stupid answer maybe, but why couldn't a person, maybe if they had time and they were bored, go back to Google Map back in that time and just look around in the neighborhood and see if anybody had a ladder on their porch, out in their yard, up against the building?
Well, hey, that's a very, very good answer. Now, Google Maps was around then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking before I called you. I thought they were. But maybe look at the vicinity. I mean, it may be a little old that you're back. I mean, it was already old, but maybe someone could see a ladder or something.
Now, I'm not making any assertions because the Harding home is in the city limits. But, I mean, have you been surprised how little attention was paid to that by the police after it was done?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, I remember when it happened, but there's what I think maybe not necessarily an inside job. They may know info, they just never released it.
Well, or it could be they realize that, boy, we don't even have a single lead here, and we don't want, if you draw something out, and then you don't get anything, it you kind of look bad in a way. So I think maybe there was some of that going on. And I don't know why it didn't get turned over to the attorney general and the state police. I mean, that's a federal landmark.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree there, too. I wonder if someone here in Marion just don't have it in the safe deposit box.
Oh, I think it's definitely. People have said it's somebody outside of Marion. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's somebody here, and I think it's still in Marion. And I think they're scared to death.
Yep, just all they got to do is drop it off to you, anonymous.
That's right, and they could collect $1,000. Like I say, if you sent somebody with it, I'm not going to ask who you are, and as soon as we authenticate it, I'm going to give you right. the money. So what information could I even tell the police if I wanted to?
Why would you want to? You got back what you wanted.
Right, and the kids used to love to look at that dog collar.
Right.
So that's why it's an important thing. So hopefully, maybe like Charles Darwin's notebooks, they'll turn back up.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Scott, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Again, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 34 minutes past the hour on this Tuesday morning. Don't forget, today we have Adam the Computer Guy from 2:10 until 3 p.m., and then Voice of a People with Linda Sims from 4:10 until 5 p.m. Looking at the breakfast question here this morning, got a post on Facebook from one of our great longtime listeners, John Heimlich, talking about coffee is always a good way to start the day. I'm just not a coffee person. Both Pat Henry and John Heimlich have now commented on Facebook about the coffee is how they start their day, but I'm not a coffee drinker, so I have to find alternatives to start my mornings. 740-751-4038. Does anybody have anything to add to the conversation this morning? 35 minutes past the hour. I've enjoyed the conversation this morning. It's fun to talk to people about things like this. Also, do want to remind people that Swap Shop will return to live programming Thursday at 12:15 with Pastor Craig as the host. So we look forward to that. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, ITTF. So the phone system is fixed, I guess.
Yeah, the Frontier and Spectrum have had a bad week, but we're up and running again.
Yeah, Frontier normally is in a bad week zone. I just got up. I kind of slept in a little bit. I'm not sure if you talked about this, but, you know, I'm very close friends with the newsman, and he just wanted to relay what a great job Marmet is doing. We have just the most awesome law enforcement in this area, and every time I drive through Marion, the city looks like it's been cleaned up, and it continues to be. So any police officers and other safety officials who are listening, hats off to you. You're awesome. And Marmet rocks. I mean, I don't see anybody could possibly disagree. Do you have any thoughts of your own, Scott? Are you as proud of them as I am?
Well, I've always thought we have a good police and fire department here in Marion. I think they do. They go out of their way to help people. They go out of their way to save people. So I've always felt they were very good service. I mean, I think that's why those press releases are sent out, and I think that's very good. Because it lets the public know what's being done on their behalf. So it's good. Now, I don't know. I at some point, somebody's going to have to address the drug problem. And I don't know what it is. But, you know, Marmet's been doing a great job for years now. I don't know what year that started. But this is not a new thing. I think they're sending out more press releases now than they used to. But, I mean, they've been doing a great job for many, many years.
Right. I just hear the reputation about the drug issue, and obviously it's everywhere, I mean, in the country. And it seems like the smaller cities, Marion, Chillicothe, Zanesville, Lancaster, Portsmouth, those are the cities you hear about with the drug issue. And it exists, Scott, but they're doing a good job. And Chief Jay has made it pretty clear, if you're going to be in the drug business, don't do it here, because we're going to get you. Karma's going to get you.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say that Chief Collins had the same attitude. I would say that Sheriff Bailey.
Any of the predecessors weren't good also. I'm just more involved personally, and so I'm just seeing more of it. And you're just following the chief on Facebook and just hearing, seeing his family, and when he's talked to you, any bad rap Marion gets, as I've told people, people who say that have not been to Marion. And I've been very impressed. And they do a great job. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm sure everybody agrees.
I
want to make sure people know, any law enforcement people are listening, you do a great job, and I admire you.
Now, Adam, are you looking for a merit badge or something?
No. I'm just really impressed. I think the story from a couple days ago... really hit the spot.
No, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think Marion's bad rep comes from outside of Marion. I think it's always been internal. It's a sad thing. Anything that's ever been done to us internal. Well, listen, you know what? Yes, the Marmette stories are great. Nobody would deny it. And we certainly appreciate the police and fire. But in the same week that that's going on, we get that story from Marion City Schools about the teachers being abused, and that makes it to the right. Columbus News. Well, I can see why people might have a bad, if you've never been here and you don't have a kid who goes to the schools, you probably do have a bad opinion when you, the story is that a teacher got backhanded.
Yeah. But we don't,
see, this is the problem. We don't concentrate on the bad when really we should. I mean, yes, the good is good, but we don't have to tell people good is good. A drug bust is a good thing. You don't have to tell somebody that's a good thing.
Yeah.
They understand that. We need
people
to take,
need to be reminded.
Right, but we need to take those bad stories, like the one of the teacher getting backhanded and being afraid to go in the building, and get out ahead of those on the state level, because that story got state attention. And I think you have to say, listen, that's not a representation of Marion City Schools. And, you know, that's unfortunate that that happened.
Right. And I think just the events of the last couple of years put a tense atmosphere. And there's no excuse for what happened. But the atmosphere from the situation of the last 2+ years is an influencing factor. And
well, I don't know why that would influence a child to backhand a teacher. I mean, I think there's a lot of things going on now.
The mask requirement is a large part of it. Masks, if you heard my show yesterday, have a tremendous impact on physical and mental health.
Well, but that's more of an opinion from person to person. I haven't had any mental health issues because of the masks.
Some people more than others, and people get used to it. But no, that's... Well,
but how would wearing a... Now, I'm just asking a question here. How would wearing a mask make a child backhand a teacher?
It feels like you're being controlled because you are. It affects your oxygen level. It affects your ability to communicate. Everybody, even if you have perfect hearing, everybody reads lips and reads expressions.
Yep. So what?
A horrible
what?
But effect on communication.
But you are being controlled in school. You always have been.
Correct.
Don't go out on recess. Do your homework.
Exactly. The mask adds a dimension of control that's unnecessary.
I don't know.
Yeah, the kids aren't stupid, Scott. They know that the masks are detrimental. Yeah, if you heard the show yesterday, that might help shape someone's opinion.
Who was on yesterday? No, I didn't hear it. Who was it?
In addition to Lucas, I had a pilot from American Airlines who's been a commercial pilot for over 30 years.
Now, are any of these people experts?
I would say a pilot is. Pilots are educated and continually receiving updated training. I certainly am. Again, my schoolwork, among other things, is a material science.
You know what I would like to see, Adam?
And other people, and humans in general. I mean, that's the way my brain functions.
You know what I would like to see, and this is just my opinion, because we're clear, we know how you feel about the masks, and we're very clear on the guests you've had.
It's an important issue. I make no bones about it. Yeah,
exactly.
I've had it, yeah. I think everybody needs to know.
And that's fine.
Right.
But why not bring on a doctor? Why not bring on somebody who works at a hospital?
Yeah,
why not?
I would, and I'm working on getting other guests.
But now don't cherry pick them. I mean, bring on, if they have a differing opinion than you, I'd be interested in hearing that show. Because when you're talking to people who always agree with you, I don't know that that solves anything. I don't know
that's correct. Well, we're working on that. Bear with me. You know, you're the one who's an interviewer to the stars, an interviewer to important people and dignitaries. Honestly, if one of the doctors you talk to, the doctor's first name is Kirk, I believe, or Kurt, the Ohio Health guy. Sorry, I forget his last name. I'll be happy to be on the show with you. That's fine. No problem at all.
No, I think it would be interesting because...
It would. Yeah, it would. And you're right. I'm not here to everybody just to shake hands and say we're all right and wonderful. Yeah, let's hear different opinions.
Yeah, and that would be good. And you know, nothing wrong with having people on who agree with you. I just think I don't think I've ever heard anybody on any of the shows you've done about masks who disagreed with you.
Correct. It's just because of my presence on social media and the anti-mask community. But I agree with you. Well, go ahead and line a guest up, Scott. And understand I'm also very versed and educated on statistics. And you and I have talked about that. And statistics can be massaged, or whatever word you want to use. But I stand by my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where we all are. And it's like last week we were having the conversation about the Warners, and I don't want to get back into that, but you gave your opinion on that. Nothing wrong with that. And somebody called in the next hour and praised you for giving your opinion. Now, I would imagine because they felt the same way. But there are people who feel differently. And I think that's when we begin to solve problems, is when we talk to people who disagree with us.
Right, and if everybody agreed, the world would be rather boring.
Right. But I appreciate you calling in with the praise for Marmet. I think they deserve that. What's coming up at 2 o'clock today?
Well, the show yesterday was so good, we're going to provide an encore.
Well, there you go, a pilot.
Remember, we have another guest with Lucas probably in the works, and some other things up my sleeve. But I listened to the show 3 times, Scott. It was so good.
Now, I have a question. Now, I know you'll have Lucas on again. I have a question for him.
He's a great articulate guest. I mean, as you can hear, you don't have to agree with the guy, but he presents himself really well.
My question is, the mask mandates, for the most part, are gone. So what is he fighting here?
Well, there the FTMM is in existence. I was just speaking with a friend of mine while taking him to the hospital, and even though I have a doctor's note, and you know, they're welcome to take my temperature with a non-contact thermometer, I can't go in the hospital, so I'll have to go in the car and do something and then pick him up, because I make no exceptions for that for nobody, and it's not a problem. We talked about it and all is well, and they seem to care only if you wear a mask, not about your actual health, regardless of the mask, ironically, being unhealthy and prolonging this. I believe it's prolonging this issue.
Well, we shall see as the ball rolls. Thanks for calling, Adam.
Provide some good scientific information about oxygen deprivation. Do listen, Scott, and let me know what you think. Your opinions are always valuable to me.
At 2 o'clock, I might do that today. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great show.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038, 46 minutes past the hour. But I feel that way on all topics, not just Adam's topics. I honestly believe that it's not about an argument. I don't want to hear an argument on the air. That's no interest to me. But if you bring somebody on who you know feels... If you're willing to give your opinion on something and you bring somebody on who's got a different opinion and you can have a civil conversation about that, I think you learn a lot of things, because the listener, you guys out there listening, are going to say, okay, well, you know, that's a good point. And you hear good points when people have differing opinions. When people have the same opinions, yeah, good points can be made, but they're the same points. So, there you go. 740-751-4038. That's why we used to have the Fairness Doctrine in radio until the 1980s. 47 minutes past the hour. Harding's Dog Collar. What do you eat for breakfast? What do you make of the restaurant service that there's been lately? Am I the only one who's noticed that all restaurants are seemingly having problems with their service? 740-751-4038. Ah, the fire department has already responded to me, the City of Marion, Ohio Fire Department. Here you go. Here's the long-awaited answer to the question, what caused the house explosion on Congress Street last year? It was determined to be a gas leak inside the home. There you go. So that's what happened that's from the Marion Fire Department. We thank them for responding quickly. It was a gas leak inside the home. If you remember that story from last fall, I believe it was, the house on Congress Street exploded. And thank goodness it didn't destroy any of the houses beside of it. But it was a gas leak, is what they determined. So there you go. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 49 minutes past the hour. Still got 10 minutes left. If there's something you'd like to weigh in on this morning, and we would love to hear it. And maybe tomorrow we'll do some trivia. But the conversations have been very good this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
I thought of another question. When I listen to Charlie at 7 in the morning and 7 at night, Charlie has these little breaks. Why did he always do that? To get a drink or...
No. You know, the reason Charlie had the breaks was Faye Bank was a supporter of his show when he went to 3 days a week. So we had to put the spots inside the show. And then when Faye Bank left as a supporter, we left the spots in because I think at that point he was just more comfortable. Because I used to talk to Charlie during the breaks, the long breaks and the short breaks. I would always come in the room to make sure he was doing okay. And I think he just was more comfortable at that point. It originally started because of Faye Bank being a supporter.
Oh, I wondered about that.
Yeah, that's all that was. But
after Charlie left this, I mean, you guys didn't, you know, when even when he just wasn't able to be on the radio anymore, you guys didn't really do the little short breaks. It was...
Well, one of the reasons we get all our stuff in the top of the hour on this station is because I've always felt, now some mornings are different than others, but if you have a guest on and you have a program, those are called hard breaks. They're coming no matter what you do. You can't stop them. And it's very hard to cut off a guest that way. Sometimes it's even hard to cut off somebody who's calling in, who's giving you good information. And sometimes when you listen to Charlie, he has that problem.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to get the name and bam, here comes that break. So
yeah.
That's why we don't put him in. But that's what that was all about with Charlie.
Yeah, them other radio programs I listen to, like Coast to Coast and some of them other ones, they do that. They have commercials, and you know they do their little hawking products and stuff, and then they come back and they talk for about 10 minutes, and then they have another break, and then sometimes it gets to be annoying. I like listening to this radio station because you guys get through all of it till the quarter after, and then boom, I got about 45 minutes of radio, and then we're good.
That's right. Well, and you know what? And I've radio stations that I worked at in the past had their commercials or spots or whatever you want to call them programmed in during the hour, and you had some leeway at some of those stations on when you could do it. They weren't necessarily hard breaks, but the problem always was that if you had a really interesting guest on, you might get to the end of the hour and you haven't played your breaks yet, and then the sales team gets very upset with you and the sponsor gets very upset with you. So I never liked that system. I thought, get it all in at the top of the hour. It gives the host a chance to rest their voice, ask a question, fix a problem, go to the restroom, whatever. And then 45 minutes, we don't break away.
Yeah, nice. I like that, because when you guys are talking, when you have a guest, like when you have the President Harding on or you're talking to somebody, and they're not interrupted and they can finish a thought, and you guys don't say, well, we got a hard break coming, so we have to cut you off a minute. Yeah.
Well,
that's all I wanted to know.
Well, hey, I thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038, 53 minutes past the hour here. And, you know, in the beginning, I always thought that 45 minutes would be a long time to talk with no break, but now it's a piece of cake. Piece of cake. 740-751-4038. Well, some days it's a piece of cake. Yesterday, when the phones weren't working, that was a little hairy. But you got to hear that live on the air. 53 and a half minutes past the hour. The conversation's been great this morning. Let's keep it up for the remaining 6 minutes of the program today. 740-751-4038. Any questions you have, by the way, are good. Doesn't have to be about Harding's dog collar or breakfast or the restaurant situation here in Marion. Apparently, I'm the only one having trouble with restaurants. Maybe I'm eating out too much. I thought for sure other people would be having trouble with restaurants around town as of late. And to be honest with you, it's not just around town. I don't want to say this is a Marion thing, because I've been outside of town too and ran into the same problem. And I don't think it's service. I don't think it's lack of people. I understand restaurants are having a lack of people. All businesses are. But it seems to me the people working, when you show up, they seem to be preoccupied. I don't know what's going on. First of all, I don't understand the phones being allowed to be out if you are busy. Now, if you're not busy, listen, that's fine. Or you're getting your job done, I don't think you should take somebody's phone away from them. But you know what? When there's somebody at your drive-thru window and you whip out your phone, now why isn't somebody paying attention to that? And it's weird to me, you know, the other night I saw somebody take an order, a to-go order, on the phone that took like 20 minutes to take while a person was waiting at the counter, and they never even acknowledged the person at the counter. Now, is that just a young person thing? Because the person was young who was taking the order. Have we lost? See, this was the thing I always said, being in radio, that cell phones and texting and social media worried me, because it was going to hurt our communication skills. Well, maybe we're there. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, here's another thing, Scott. When you go through a drive-thru or something, they make a mistake on your order.
Yeah?
A lot of times you go to call the place, you know, to bring it to their attention, get it taken care of, and they don't answer the phone.
Well, yeah, I think they're busy.
They're too busy.
Yeah, I mean, they are busy. There's no doubt about that. But I don't necessarily know that's what's causing the problem.
Well, it's not causing a problem, but, you know, he brought up Coast to Coast, so I wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you ever listened to that?
Yeah.
I tell you, the stuff that they talk about on there is just far out.
It is, old George Norrie, but he does do a good show. I have to say, George Norrie is a very good radio host.
Yeah, he's a good radio host, but they talk about topics that are, and he gets some people calling in there that, I don't know, just want attention or something, but, you know, according to them, this world is full of aliens from other countries, or other
planets,
civilizations, planets,
yeah,
walking around, you know, and you meet them, you don't even know it. You know, I just...
It's a different show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't get into listening to that too very good.
Well, hey, I thank you for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open. I know we had another call coming in there. If that was you, give us a buzz back. We still have time, 57 minutes past the hour here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Remember, if you call in and the line just keeps ringing, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So try back in. 740-751-4038. 57 and a half minutes past the hour here. On this Tuesday, April the 5th, 2022, 740-751-4038. If you have any information on President Harding's dog collar, Laddie Boy's dog collar, give me a call off the air, shoot me an email, whatever you'd like to do. And there is a $1,000 reward that was put up by a listener for the return of this collar, and we thank that listener who did that. So hopefully one day it will be returned. And again, congratulations to Kansas. Congratulations goes out to Kansas this morning for winning the NCAA tournament and apparently coming back from the largest margin of being behind in a game to win the tournament in NCAA history. How about that? 740-751-4038, 58 and a half minutes past the hour. What is on your mind this morning? Nobody told us what they have for breakfast. Apparently, nobody else is having issues with the restaurant. Well, we did get one call where they thought it was, a shortage where people don't answer the phone, so I guess there's that. But if the cook shows up and the server shows up, then I don't know why the quality of the food would have anything to do with a people shortage. I that's where I'm lost. Or why you would take an order at a counter and not even acknowledge somebody for 20 minutes who's standing right there. I think it's a communication skills gap. And I think we've been headed that way for quite a long time now. Unfortunately, 59 and a half minutes past the hour, 44 degrees and cloudy. Sounds like it's going to be a nice day today. Adam the Computer Guy at 210 today. Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 410 today. Don't miss those programs for love nor money. I'll be back tomorrow morning, hopefully with another stimulating program here on WWGH Radio. Always good to spend the day with you folks. So come back with me tomorrow. But for this day, this April day, April... Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 to 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act. It's not an act. It's a big old act. I'm going to blow up your act.